loads up and skies it. Deep to left field, down the line, it goes, it is gone! Andrew Vaughn greets Barlow with a moonshot, and the Sox take a three-run lead.
And the White Sox would hold on to that lead thanks to that three-run homer by Andrew Vaughn, and the Royals fall 7-3 to the White Sox yesterday. Chicago took an early 3-0 lead. Royals would fight back and allow Zach Greinke to get off with a no decision. Greinke went 6 innings and got the no decision. Royals tied it up at 3, had the bases loaded, one out. Whit Merrifield hit a sacrifice fly to center field. Royals could have had a much bigger inning. Bobby Witt Jr. started it with a single to extend his hitting streak to 6. He also stole a base and eventually scored to tie the game. And then Snyder came in relief, looked great. First two batters, struck him out, but then gave up back-to-back hits. Enter Scott Barlow, get out of the jam. Instead, he lights the world on fire and gives up a three-run homer. And it's 6-3, game basically over at that point. And the Royals fall 7-3 was the final. Royals now 6-10 on the season. White Sox are 7-10, break their long losing streak. Three-game series concludes this afternoon at 1:10. Brad Keller, who's had really bad run support, 0-2. ERA at 2.55 starts for the boys in blue in KC. And yesterday it was so cold. With the wind chill, yesterday it was 31 degrees, and Zach Greinke was pitching in short sleeves. He's either dumber than I or much tougher than I. And I would say he's probably much tougher than I, to be quite honest with you, because I think he's a smart dude. Here's Mike Matheny on the offense against Dylan Cease, who had a no-hitter through 5, the starting pitch for the White Sox. Royals broke through in the 6th.
Figured out a way to kind of scratch back and taking bases when they give them to us, and then, you know, getting the big hits when we just putting them in where they weren't. But we had some hard hit balls that got caught too, but overall thought the guy's taking better at bats. But, you know, he had good stuff today, and he's got swing and miss stuff, always has, and when he executes, tough to put in play.
So, once again, Royals lose by a final of 7-3 yesterday. They conclude the series in Chicago today for Game 3. Keller on the mound. Now, stop me if you have heard this before.
Shorts?
Stop. Okay. Perfect. I did pause to allow that. I'm glad you jumped in. All right, no need to tell you, you already know. Shortstop Alberto Mondesi is headed to the injured list for the first time this season, which cracks me up. For the first time this season,
we
played
16
games.
That's why I had to put that in there, first time this season, yeah. On my sportscaster.
Yeah, yeah. An MRI found structural damage in his knee after tweaking it on Tuesday night on the bases in the 6th inning. Mondesi has struggled out of the gate, hitting 140, just 3 runs scored. The oft-injured Mondesi played in just 35 games last season, been on the injured list 6 times in 7 years in the league. With Mondesi out, the Royals had Nicky Lopez back at short, who basically played gold glove short last year. You had Whit Merrifield at second, which where Whit is more comfortable, and Edward Olivares was in right field. Dozier was at first, and they let Santana have the day off. So in a situation where the Royals are back to, and this is very true, I think the Royals have 3 gold glove shortstops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nicky Lopez played gold glove defensive shortstop last year. Mondesi's a gold glove shortstop if he could ever stay healthy. And Bobby Witt Jr., we know how good he is defensively, mm-hmm. what he's done at third, and he's natural shortstop. So the Royals have a plethora of depth at shortstop defensively. Offensively, Mondesi hasn't done anything this year anyway, so you may say, what's the big deal? Mondesi still has the talent, but man, he gets fooled on sliders and breaking pitches. He's not even close. And he had that stretch where he was just ripping the cover off the ball a couple years ago, looked awesome, and he showed what he could do. And now he's regressed, and I feel bad for him. I know a lot of Royals fans are making fun of Alberto Mondesi because he's made out of glass and he breaks a lot, and he's hurt. I get it, but I feel for the guy because I've read all about how hard he worked this offseason. Mm-hmm. He changed his diet. He did all kinds of things so he couldn't, hopefully didn't get hurt. He's still a very young player that should be entering his prime, and once again, and just, you know, kind of a freak injury on the base paths, and now he's out again, and it's so unfortunate. And so Lopez at short, Witt's at second. For all you Whit Merrifield fans that wanted Witt to be back at second, maybe it'll be interesting to see if Whit Merrifield takes off offensively now that he's at second. Because mm-hmm. we saw Hunter Dozier, when he played on the infield, do better hitting than he did in the outfield. I think it was last year. Except he had to play in the outfield a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how that all takes place for the Royals as they will be back in action today in Chicago, now 6-10 on the season. Local sports, Dusty, have our Athlete of the Weeks.
Yes, Athletes of the Week, Lincoln senior Reagan Stewart, Rock Hill sophomore Coe Nielsen, and Thunder Ridge sophomore Josh Ferguson have been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. All three athletes claimed individual overall championships at the KEMFA State Powerlifting Meet this past Saturday in Claflin. Stewart, the champion in the women's 123-pound division, lifted a total of 495 pounds. Nielsen was a champion in the men's 114-pound division, as he lifted a total of 470 pounds. And then Ferguson, the champion in the men's 220-pound division, with a total of 955 pounds. You can read much more about that and some of their individual marks there at the website, nckssports.com. Again, Reagan Stewart, Co Nielsen, and Josh Ferguson are athletes of the week from nckssports.com and Cunningham Telephone and Cable. We need your help in finding the athlete of the week. For more information, you can visit nckssports.com. There are a few events coming up today in local sports, as we have high school golf today. The Rock Hills Invitational actually taking place this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Lakeside, Tipton, Sylvan Lucas, St. John's, Rock Hills, Southern Cloud, and Pike Valley are all competing there. Also, the Russell Invitational at 10 o'clock this morning. Smith Center will be at that one. And the Concordia golf team is the Clay Center Invitational at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And makeup softball game, Beloit hosting Sylvan Lucas Lincoln this afternoon. The doubleheader starts at 4 o'clock here today. So that's a look at what's going on in local sports. Again, always the latest at nckssports.com.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, not a lot going on today.
Yeah, I guess not. We're supposed to have JB baseball tonight, and that was postponed canceled because Abilene doesn't have enough players. They've had a lot of varsity games this week, and that takes precedence. So I've actually had a baseball free week so far.
Yeah, which, by the way, I do want to let people know that Republic County Beloit baseball games will not be made up. Beloit gets two forfeit wins, and they go in as 7-0 scores for Beloit due to the circumstances of Republic County just basically saying, we're not coming to play. Beloit gets two forfeit wins because they're not going to make those games up. I'm guessing they award a run per inning is why they make it 7-0. It was kind of weird when I got that note. I went, 7-0 is an interesting score to call it, but that's what it's going to be. So Beloit has two more wins on their schedule.
Without playing.
Without playing.
So thank you, Republic County. We appreciate the freebies that you sent us, and that'll be great. Yeah, that's not how you want to win games, though.
No.
I know Coach Cox doesn't want to win games like that, but that's the way it is. And, yeah, they didn't exactly let Beloit know very early, that's for sure. They waited to the very last possible minute to where Beloit had just contacted the umpires who were walking out of their house with their bags packed.
I'm pretty sure that Jesse was on his way.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm glad I don't read Twitter and drive, quote, you know, with the with the joking sarcasm, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's, yeah, interesting way to do that.
Yes. There have been situations where umpires haven't even been called. The game's been called off. Umpire drives all this way and then shows up, and they're like, oh, yeah, the school. I'm like, you would think the first two phone calls you'd make would be, one, to the opposing school that you're not going to play, and two would be to the umpires. To me, that would be the first two calls you'd make. But somehow I've heard all kinds of stories over the years where somehow the umpires aren't notified, so then they drive all the way, and then like, oh, that's nice. I'd be ticked off if I was an umpire and that happened. Now, they get paid. By the way, they still get paid, even though those games were not played. They were set up to do it and everything else and so forth and so on.
Took their time off of work, most likely, to get there.
Yes, absolutely. And the home team is responsible for the umpires. I don't know. In this case, maybe the road team should pay for it since they're the ones that didn't show up.
At least get half of it from you guys.
Yeah, right. Now,
reimbursed.
And I understand there's some kind of situation happening up there in regards to what you want to call it, conduct detrimental to the team or some issues on the team. I don't know exactly what's going on, and I'm not saying that, you know, if that's the punishment they decided was right for their school and their players not to play on that particular day and come to Beloit, I understand it. You got to take care of your house first. I get that. It is unfortunate that it takes away games for kids that play for Beloit because they're not going to be made up. So they just lost two games off their schedule because of somebody else apparently not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. They got in trouble. But that is life. It's not fair. We know all about that. All right. You know what would really be unfair, according to some, is that the Chiefs traded up and got Jameson Williams as wide receiver in the first round of NFL draft tonight. Something tells me that Jameson Williams is going to be going higher than people have in their mock drafts. But let's hear from Brett Veach. First round of NFL draft is tonight in Las Vegas at 7 o'clock. The Jaguars have the first pick for the second straight year, followed by the Lions at number two. Most mock drafts have either Georgia edge rusher Trayvon Walker or Michigan edge Aiden Hutchinson going with the number one pick, and in either or in the second slot as well. As far as the Chiefs are concerned, they have 12 picks in this draft. And tonight they are scheduled to pick at 29 and 30. Here's Brett Veach on the flexibility and the prospects for this year's draft.
You know, we're excited about, you know, the talent we have on the roster. We're also excited about the prospects in this draft class. And I think it's we've shown every indication of, you know, where we're going with this thing, and we're going to build for the draft, and having 12 picks and having flexibility year in and year out is something that we're certainly putting a lot of stock in. And like I said, we're excited to add talent on both sides of the football and work through the draft and get young and get deep.
Okay, so, you know, the thing about the Chiefs, they have needs. I saw somebody say, oh, the Chiefs can trade up and give up all this draft capital because they don't have many holes. I'm like, man, do you actually pay attention?
Didn't pay attention to free agency in the offseason, that's for sure.
I mean, to me, the Chiefs have some considerable holes. First and foremost, they to me, they're two pass rushers short. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting a lot of stock in Frank Clark. Even though they restructured deal and he should be more motivated to play even better this year, I'm not sold on Frank Clark. I think he's a declining player. So I'm not sold on, and they have no Melvin Ingram. He's still a free agent, last I checked. So, and Chris Jones, we know his motor doesn't go full speed all the time, and he's not an edge pass rusher anyway. So please don't put him back at defensive end. That was not a good idea.
No.
So when I look at the Chiefs, I mean, they need not one, but two pass rushers, edge rushers. I think they could use, I still think they could use a linebacker, although I don't know if that's a pressing need. There's no question they need a corner. I mean, Charvarius Ward is gone. They need a corner. So there's two major needs. And then many people believe that the Chiefs need another wide receiver, which I think they need another wide receiver. I'm not sold on they need to have a first-round wide receiver. More on that in a moment. But they have, and then right tackle is a question, because I don't think you want to go to battle with Andrew Wiley as your starting right tackle. Lucas Niang ruptured his Achilles. Don't know when he'll be back or if he'll be effective. So the Chiefs have four significant needs. Right tackle, wide receiver, edge, to me, is the biggest. And honestly, that's five spots I just told you. Two pass rushers, a corner, a wide receiver, and a right tackle. And you could even go one step further and say that they need a tight end. You could say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe Noah Gray is the second tight end, but they need to eventually get a tight end that they can groom to take over and replace Travis Kelce, because as Danny Welniak said, KCTV Vibe sports director, our guest earlier this week on Tuesday, talk at Chiefs draft, that, you know, Travis Kelce is not a spring chicken, and that the Chiefs are going to retool and completely replace the current roster they got and turn it over probably three or more, four more times before Mahomes retires. So the Chiefs are probably going to have Mahomes going to work with probably three different tight ends over the span of time in regards to if they're a really good player. He's going to work with three Tyreek Hills. Now, granted, nobody's Tyreek Hill, but you get my point, playing with a number one wide receiver. That's why a lot of people believe that the Chiefs are going to trade up in this draft to get a top-flight receiver so that they can have him under contract, and with Mahomes' numbers escalating against the cap the next few years, they could have a guy that could be his number one guy for years to come. It makes sense in theory. The thing is, there's lots of really good receivers. Wide receiver is a deep position in this draft. Do the Chiefs identify a guy that they must have in their opinion, and do they trade draft capital, and how much of it, and how high do they trade up to get that wide receiver? Now, I believe and I feel that I'd feel a lot better if the Chiefs moved up and made a significant move in first round to get an outstanding pass rusher. The problem is pass rusher is not nearly as deep as wide receiver, and two of the three top-rated pass rushers in this draft are probably going to go 1-2 tonight.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to have anything.
There's nothing at 29-15. No,
as far as pass rusher.
No. Now, there could be a guy that they like that's a second-round grade,
right,
that they might reach and take at 30. Or, as I've said before, everybody talks about the Chiefs trading up. I think it's very possible they might trade down. I think it's very possible that the Chiefs get to 29 or 30, and they say, listen, nobody on this board is rated a first-round pick that we have, that we're... Now, here's the next thing. Are the Chiefs going to draft on need, or are they going to draft on best player available? Usually, the Chiefs draft first best player available. So, let's ask this question. If there is on their board, when they get to 29, there is a tackle that they like, are they going to take him, or will they trade down? Listen, to me, if there's a tackle that's on their board and they're targeting wide receiver and corner and pass rushers, but none of those guys they love at 29 or 30, but there's a tackle there that they think they can put at right tackle, then they should pick them. And then it's not, and then trade 30 and go back to, you know, trade with somebody and go down to 40. Mm-hmm. And then you had 3 second-round picks, and now you might be able to find a pass rusher that maybe is a bit of a sleeper. You can maybe find that wide receiver that can complement your receiving core, and you may even be able to find a corner in the second round. So are the Chiefs going to make 12 picks tonight? Or, excuse me, they're not. I know that because they only play the first round. The first round's tonight, second, third round tomorrow, 4 through 7 is coming up, what is it, Saturday?
Saturday, yeah.
So this is going to be a long night because it's going to take 3.5 hours, if not 4, to draft the first round. But the Chiefs sit at 29 and 30. How many picks do you think the Chiefs will actually make this draft, the whole draft? They have 12.
Yeah.
They have 2 in the first, 2 in the second, 2 in the third, 2 in the fourth, 0 in the fifth, 0 in the sixth, 4 in the seventh. So it is a little bit misleading when you go, oh, the Chiefs have 12 picks. They have 4 or 7th round picks that usually at best maybe make your team as a special teams player at best or practice squad. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't get all riled up. To me, they have 8 picks. They have 8 picks and they got in the first 4 rounds. That's pretty impressive. How many picks do you think the Chiefs will actually select? How many players will they actually select after trades, if you believe there will be trades, so forth and so on?
I'm gonna put it at 9.
You're gonna draft 9 players?
I think I don't believe they're gonna trade up at all in the first round. I don't see that happening. I don't believe that's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. What I could see is them picking 29 or picking 30, right? Mm-hmm. Moving back and maybe moving some around and maybe trading up in the later rounds, like the 3rd or 4th round, right? If there's somebody they really like, just to unload some of these picks, right? Mm-hmm. And to make it a better group of players that they feel like they've drafted. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're like, you know, second round, they're at 50, right? It's not like they're way, way down the list in the second round, right?
Right.
It's not like they're the last pick of the second round, kind of like toward the end of the first round. So, I mean, you've got 29, 30, then you're up again at 50. And so I don't know how far you want to move up if you do. But then again, if you trade out of one of either 29 or 30, that's the reason that I'm kind of leery about trading out of 29 and 30 as well, because that's going to give them more picks, unless they're going to just take picks in later drafts, which you could always do that too. You don't need more picks right now. But again, I think when it's all said and done, they're going to make probably just some subtle moves here that are going to narrow that down to about 9, 8 or 9 is what I'd say.
I was going to say 8. I was going to say about 6 of their 8 top 4 rounds, and then 2 of their 7ths, and trade around with the rest of them. They might actually do both a little bit. They might actually move up a little. I mean, I'm just talking a couple spots if they think there's a you know, if the receiver board goes crazy and or whatever position they are really looking at goes crazy and there's one right there that they like, move up a couple spots to try to make sure you get them. And then I also think that 30 pick, I just think, you know, I don't know. I just have a feeling that either running back or quarterback, somebody wants to get in right at the end of the first round. Mm-hmm. Just the way the contracts are structured, you get an extra year on a first round pick, and so that'll give you an extra year of cheap money on a running back, which you don't want to pay later. Gives you an extra year there, or an extra year to figure out what was probably more of a project quarterback late in the first round. So I don't know if somebody loves Desmond Ridder or that much to do this, but I just think 30 is a kind of a neat spot to be in for the Chiefs, in that they could get some extra picks, or even maybe somebody gives them a first rounder for this first rounder in the hope, you know, their hope is like it's going to be 25 or, you know, equal, but the Chiefs' hope, maybe they have a bad year with injuries and stuff. And that could become a little bit of a lottery type pick where it's better than what they would have had next year. I don't know. I just think 30 is a kind of a interesting spot to be at.
I think the Chiefs, I think there's a possibility that they'll move up if there's a guy that's around 20. I don't think the Chiefs are going to move all the way up to 15 or higher. No. I don't see it. I think it's too expensive. And with their, especially, I think the Chiefs are a little bit nuts to trade all the way up to get a Jameson Williams at 10, 11, 12, 13, or any receiver because this draft is deep at receiver. Mm-hmm. I think that's a mistake. However, if they go get Jameson Williams, and that's the guy that all the Chiefs fans want, I'd be okay with Chris Olave if he fell, but he ain't going to fall that far either. And I think, too, that it's so deep at receiver that if you feel like there's a run on receivers that happens in front of you and there's still three or four receivers you still like, odds are if there's already been a run on receiver, you can trade from 30 to 40, get a third second-round pick, mm-hmm. trade out of the first round, and still keep a pick in the first round, trade out from 30 or 29 or both, and you can still get one of the receivers that you like, but just not that high. I don't want the Chiefs to be reaching at 29 and 30 for a need. I want them to draft the best player, and if it's not there, trade out, trade down. I know that will be very unappealing to Chiefs fans sitting around a TV tonight for 4 hours, and then the Chiefs trade out of the first round with both picks. And I don't think they're going to trade both picks.
I think
they'll trade one of them possibly and go down. But I'm with you. I think it's going to be eight. That's the number I have in my head is eight picks that the Chiefs are going to make. I think the Chiefs are going to make a lot of trades in day two. Day two and day three. I think they're going to make a lot of trades in the second, third, and fourth round. I think there's going to be times they're going to trade down even to a fifth round situation. I could see them trading up to get an extra third round pick or a second round pick, give up a fourth, but then they might be in a situation where maybe there's a guy they like and they trade a fifth next year for a fifth this year and throw in one of those sevens type of thing. I don't know how the draft value goes on the point system. There is a point system out there for the value of whatever pick you make. Mm-hmm. But there's tons of mock drafts out there, tons. And your head will spin when you try to keep track of these. And by the way, they'll all be imploded when one trade is made.
Yeah.
And there'll be tons of trades tonight. I think there'll be quite a few, actually.
That's why I don't spend a whole lot of time looking at mock drafts, because every time I do, I think I like somebody that they put on there, and then something happens to where the whole thing gets blown up, and that guy's not even close to available when your team's
picking. I think they're fun. I think they're a point of reference, but I don't. They're not gospel.
Oh, of course not.
Of course not.
So this is Pro Football Network. I'm just using theirs as an example, okay? Because there's 1,000. So I'm just picking one. And it's like throwing a dart to pick a mock draft, just like they're throwing darts.
We can go this one.
They've got Trayvon Walker going one to the Jaguars tonight. Aiden Richardson going to Lions two. So there's two edge rushers gone. They've got the top corner, they say, is Derek Stingley of LSU, although he's been injured the last couple of years. He'll go to Houston. They've got offensive lineman for NC State going to the Jets at 4. An offensive lineman tackle going to Giants at 5. The Giants have picks 5 and 7, by the way. Carolina goes offensive tackle from Mississippi State at 6. The Giants get, many people believe, Ahmad Gardner is the best corner in this draft from Cincinnati at 7.
Sauce.
Yeah, sauce. Atlanta takes Thibodeau, the edge rusher from Oregon. Now, a lot of mock drafts have Thibodeau going in the top 5. Some have him going as high as 2. And this draft, they have him at 8. So that tells you
he's
what
he's definitely one that's just nobody can decide on from what I've been kind of.
He's a tremendous talent, but some people say they don't know about, they like, he's too confident. I'm like, dude, isn't that what you want
that's
from a player? Like,
especially in an edge rusher. That in a corner, I want confidence.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Short memory. So the Falcons taking Thibodeau at 8, according to this mock draft. And then they've got a trade where Seattle will trade down. And the Eagles will take Jameson Williams at 9. See, and I think Jameson Williams is going to go top 10.
I do too. Eventually, I think you're right.
I think he
and Wilson will be the two top
receivers,
and they'll both go 8 to 10, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
London at 12, somewhere around.
They got Williams at 9.
Let's try to get the Eagles to get all the Alabama receivers. Yeah. Is that the goal or what?
I guess.
they need one at least.
Yeah, they've got Devontae Smith, Jameson Williams. They have the Eagles taking him. The Jets then would take Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. The Commanders would take Kyle Hamilton, top safety on the board for Notre Dame at 11. Trent McDuffie, corner from Washington, would go to the Vikings at 12. Jermaine Johnson, edge rusher, Florida State, to the Texans at 13. He's basically that third edge rusher that is highly graded. Now, that's a guy that if the Chiefs said, we can go up and get Jermaine Johnson slides a little bit. You know, I wouldn't have a big problem if the Chiefs want to trade up and get him 15, 16 if he falls there. But we shall see. The Ravens would take defensive tackle Jordan Davis, who's huge and a stud, and I think that'd be a great pick for the Ravens at 14. And then they've got this mock trade. So the Seahawks would take Trevor Penning, a very good offensive tackle in Northern Iowa. The Saints would get Chris Olave from Ohio State. That's a guy I really like. The Chargers would take Drake London, so he wouldn't have to go very far. I mean, he's LA already. USC wide receiver. So that'd be another weapon for Justin Herbert. That's kind of scary. The Eagles would get Devin Lloyd, a linebacker from Utah, at 18 in a trade. And then the Saints would get Kenny Pickett. First quarterback off the board, they've got Pickett going to the Saints, and then Malik Willis going to the Steelers, and both need quarterbacks. That would make sense. And the Patriots would take offensive lineman at 21. Green Bay would take a wide receiver. They need a few. Treylon Burks of Arkansas is the pick here at 22. The Cardinals would take offensive lineman from A&M. Cowboys would take an edge rusher from Purdue, Karlaftis. Buffalo would take a corner from Washington. Tyler Smith, offensive lineman, Tulsa, goes to Tennessee at 26. A DB, Daxon Hill of Michigan, goes to Tampa Bay at 27. And Seattle in the mock trade trades down to get their quarterback, Desmond Ridder of Cincinnati. They have going in the 28th pick. And then, for what you've been waiting for, Chiefs fans, according to this mock draft, Jahan Dotson from Penn State at 29, wide receiver, polished pass catcher who brings speed for the Chiefs' receiver room. The Chiefs could spring a surprise and select Jalen Petrie, whom they view as their future honey badger, a safety from Baylor. So keep an eye on that. At 30, Boy Mafi, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, edge rusher from Minnesota. I see he's graded as a second-round pick. But at number 30, it's not a major reach, you know, late first. Chiefs have a need, and it's been documented Brett Veach likes the edge rusher from Minnesota. And then Elam, a corner of Florida, goes to Cincinnati, and then a safety from Georgia goes to the Lions at 32. So that's one mock draft taking a look at things. So they've got the Chiefs taking an edge rusher and a receiver. And to me, those are, I think, to everybody, the two biggest needs. Brett Veach doesn't have a history of drafting corners very high at all. He got a really good corner in Snead at 4. He traded for Jarvarius Ward and gave up Parker Enger. That was a great trade. Mm-hmm. He brought in Rashad Breeland as a free agent. Rashad Fenton was a late draft pick and has been very serviceable at corner. I think Brett Veach looks at corners and says, listen, corners are like running backs. I can find some good corners. I don't have to give up my draft capital to get one. And with 2 second and 2 third round picks, I would imagine he'll take a corner with one of those picks. He stressed to people that he cares about the line and the trenches, offensive, defensive line. You know, don't be surprised the Chiefs take some kind of defensive lineman in this draft in the first or second round either. Offensive line, like we said, right tackle is a bit of a question that some people have overlooked. There's a lot of places the Chiefs can go, and that's why it's going to be really intriguing to watch what the Chiefs do tonight. But not only tonight, what they do, especially, I think, in day two of tomorrow. With a second and third round, and you have 4 picks in the next 2 rounds after tonight, and maybe more if you trade down, I am honestly, I'm more intrigued on what they're going to do tomorrow than they are today. I know I'm in the minority here, but everybody's got caught up in the sexiness of trading up in the first round. I'm more caught up in what they're going to do tomorrow with 4 picks in 2 in the second, 2 in the third tomorrow, about whether they trade some sevenths and a fourth to move up in the second and third round tomorrow. Or who knows, maybe, like Jason said, they might trade down, grab a few picks for next year, and say there's only 6 or 7 guys that we're identifying as that's what we want.
Let's just say that this mock draft with the trades hits the Seattle one with Desmond Ridder, that Seattle's going to do that. That trade could very well, it has it 28 with the Packers there, that trade could very well happen at 29 or 30
yes.
with the Chiefs. Say the Chiefs take that the rusher from Minnesota, you're probably going to get that 9, like Seattle was up at 9 to start. You could very well get that 9th pick in the second round, and you very well may get that Jahan Dotson at that point too. And or the tight end from Colorado State, who I think is the first tight end that's projected, McBride. So there's your Kelsey replacement, and you know, or down the road replacement, and your second tight end. And then if you feel like Ronald Jones is going to be a bigger part, you might run a little more 2 tight ends, especially if you're a little short at receiver. You know, you can't fix everything in one draft, but you can really kind of give yourself, I think, you know, tight end, you know, if they could find a way to move up early in the second round, would give them options.
Well, if you can run the ball, you got to find a blocking tight end. I don't think you're going to go draft a blocking tight end in the second round. If you're going to talk about giving Patrick Mahomes a second tight end weapon to throw to, then I can see that actually happening. I think an interesting part of this draft tonight is what the Packers do, because the Packers are right ahead of the Chiefs. They have a pick at 22, and they have a pick at 28. And I think you could see when you get down to possibly, you know, after the Packers pick at 22, you got the Cardinals, the Cowboys, the Bills, the Titans, the Buccaneers before the Packers pick again ahead of the Chiefs. And we know the Packers and Chiefs both probably need a receiver. Packers need more than one. I could see the Chiefs there, if there's a guy they like out of that wide receiver group, and they know the Packers are looking at a receiver, I could see the Chiefs trading with the probably, wouldn't it be wild if they traded with the Bills after how they got Mahomes? I don't think you're probably trading with the Bills. You might trade with Tennessee at 26. But I will say, you could easily trade, you know, you could go from 29 to 27 with Tampa Bay. Yep. And get ahead of Green Bay. If that's a possibility, or possibly the Cowboys got a lot of draft capital. They might be willing to slide down. You could maybe move all the way up to 24 with Dallas or Arizona at 23. Although Green Bay's picking at 22. Who knows? The Chiefs might be worried about the Packers taking one of their receivers that they like. The Chiefs might be going, we got to go trade with Pittsburgh or New England to get above Green Bay for their first pick. Green Bay's at 22 with their first round pick, and then 28. And let me tell you something, the Steelers have been pretty adamant and put it out there that they're willing to trade down. Mm-hmm. So you could see the Chiefs maybe trade from 29 to 20 with Pittsburgh, and you could go, you know, get a receiver that you really like that's still on the board and move up 9 or 10 spots. And I would have no problem with that. They're not going to have to give up the entire draft to move up 9 spots. And if the Steelers, you know, I'm not convinced they're going to take a quarterback in this draft myself. But if their quarterbacks are both off the board, Willis and Pickett, I think the Steelers may very well trade down. Mm-hmm. And so that would be an interesting trade partner for the Chiefs. There's the Patriots at 21. You know, the Patriots have a history of trading it down. So there's so many fascinating things with this draft and with the Chiefs having two first-round picks, albeit late in the first round, but also tomorrow, two in the second, two in the third. There's so many different ways the Chiefs can take this. And and in order for the Tyreek Hill trade to be a success, a lot hinges on what happens today and tomorrow, quite honestly.
Yeah, depending on what happens with the trade, the pick they got from the Dolphins, right? Like, what do you do with that pick, and where does it end up?
You got pick 29 from the Dolphins, and you got pick 50 from the Dolphins. That's the 18th pick of the second round, and you got the fourth round pick, number 121, the 16th pick of the fourth round. Those are the three draft picks that you're going to look at a few years from now and say, did we get enough for Tyreek Hill? Yeah. Now, the thing that people are going to forget is, yeah, there's also this thing called $30 million a year that, to me, should be figured into this equation as well. Like, to me, if the Chiefs go out and they draft, if they get one really awesome player out of those three, one decent and one just bust, that doesn't mean it's a horrible trade, because you got to factor in that you didn't have to lock yourself down with $30 million a year on your and tied to your cap and money to where you couldn't go get and sign other guys.
Yeah. Right. You're adding Juju Schuster and Ronald Jones, basically, to whatever you come out with this draft.
Scantling.
Yeah. And that's one thing why I think receiver will be somewhere near one of their first couple or third pick, because I think Scantling and Juju are both one-year deals, if
I'm
correct. Yeah, so you might get one of those back next year, but you're not going to get both of them back. And so probably need to replace at least one of those for next year. But
have somebody long-term, and that's the thinking, and why the Chiefs might trade up to get a guy to be the number one target for Mahomes for the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 years possibly. So that's the draft tonight, and should be interesting. And I know if I watch the entire draft tonight, the Chiefs will probably take a pick and a tackle at 29, trade 30 out, and I'll be like, yay. And if I don't watch, I'll get text and stuff. Did you see the Chiefs traded all the way up and got Jamison Williams? Because I remember the draft when the Chiefs traded up for Patrick Mahomes. I wasn't very excited about that draft. So, yeah, Chiefs got a late first-round pick. Yay, 27. And then they traded up, and I thought they were going to take Watson. And I was okay with that. And they took Mahomes, and I was actually really okay with it, with either one, Watson or Mahomes. I was cool with. Dusty was way more reserved, I remember, about Mahomes.
Well, I've publicly said I wanted him to pick Watson.
Right, right. But I remember
once they made the trade, I'm like, it's got to be Deshaun Watson.
I was just so dang excited the Chiefs actually made a move and drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I was excited. It could have been Joe Schmo, and I would have been excited.
And I was excited about that part of it.
Yeah.
But
worked out pretty well.
Reservations, yeah.
Worked out pretty well.
It makes everybody look dumb that had the reservations, right?
here's another wild card question for you for this draft, and I don't think it'll happen tonight, but I think it's very possible it's going to happen maybe tomorrow at the end of the draft, or maybe it happens at the very end or as soon as the draft is over. But Dan Orlovsky, I think he's a very good analyst on ESPN, and I see stuff that comes across social media. And he said the steal of this draft could be Baker Mayfield. And I tend to agree with him because, first of all, when you get a rookie quarterback, they ain't going to come in and set the world on fire. Typically, they don't. Mm-hmm. It helps to have a year of tutelage like Patrick Mahomes did with Alex Smith. Would Patrick Mahomes been awesome his first year straight from college without Alex Smith mentoring him and easing him into it? I don't think he would have been nearly as successful. Now, he might have still been solid or good. Who knows? But it's rare that a quarterback comes in his rookie year and just tears it apart. Now, Joe Burrow had a pretty good rookie year. And, you know, Dan Marino had a good rookie year. I mean, there's guys that had good years. Don't get me wrong. But that's not normal. And so, are you going – and this draft is not great with quarterbacks. I mean, no offense to Skylar Thompson, but if he's going to be a draft pick this year, that tells you how weak quarterback is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so Malik Willis, I think, is a decent quarterback. I'm not sold on he's a can't-miss prospect. Kenny Pickett, I have questions about him too. Those are the top-rated quarterbacks. And then Desmond Ridder, Cincinnati, is thought of highly by some as well. So you have three quarterbacks that – are on the board possibly in the first round. But if you're one of those teams that is looking for one of those three guys and you don't get them, and you want to be good next year, and what you have on your roster you know isn't great at quarterback, you wouldn't have to give up a ton probably to get Baker Mayfield and bring in a guy that is still young, who's number one overall pick. Let's say, and this is what Orlovsky threw out there. He said, listen, Baker Mayfield is worth at least a fourth round pick.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He's worth maybe a third.
Sure, yeah.
And everybody's caught up in how he played last year. He had a torn labrum in week two in his non-throwing shoulder, which if you've ever played any sport, having a torn labrum, okay, it don't matter if it's your throwing shoulder or not. It affects how you play. And, oh, yeah, in football, you get hit. And I'm sure he was concerned about that. And I still think to this day it's a joke. It is flat-out joke the way Baker Mayfield has been treated. Because if Tom Brady did what Baker Mayfield did last year, he'd be considered a hero. If Patrick Mahomes did what Baker Mayfield did last year, he'd be considered a hero. And they'd be like, can't wait till he gets healthy and imagine what he could do once he's healthy. We know what Baker Mayfield can do when he's healthy. 2 years ago, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. QBR was top 10. He had an outstanding, it was 27 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, I think. I'm going off my memory bank here. And he led the Browns to the playoffs, and they were a Chad Henne long run and a fourth down pass to Tyreek Hill, maybe beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year he gets hurt in week two. He plays through it. The best thing that Baker Mayfield should have done, you know, if he was a selfish guy, here's what Baker Mayfield should have done last year.
Shut it down.
He should have shut it down. We give so much static, a lot of pundits and experts and talking heads out there, you know, rip people for load management, resting, or not playing through injuries and being tougher. Now, Baker Mayfield does, and we just make fun of him like he's the worst quarterback of all time. I mean, Baker Mayfield is not Andre Ware. He's not Dan McGuire. He's not Tim Couch, who played for the Browns, who was a bust at a draft pick.
There's a long list of Browns quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. So Baker Mayfield, to me, if he's healthy, and this is what Orlovsky was saying, listen, if you're caught up in what he did last year, yeah, he's not worth much because you don't go get an injured player with a torn labrum. But if he's had surgery and he's healed and he recovers and recuperates like most players do from injuries like that, you could possibly be getting the guy 2 years ago that was one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league for a fourth-round draft pick. Where do I sign up? So
yeah.
I think he might be right that the steal of this draft could be Baker Mayfield, and you might not even have to give up a fourth for him.
Right.
Because the Browns want, they don't want the distraction. I mean, can you imagine the Browns are stuck with Baker with Deshaun Watson as their starting quarterback? He's got to go, but everybody knows he's got to go, which means it kills his trade value. So that's dumb what the Browns did. They totally mishandled this whole situation for the very beginning and then gave a whole bunch of money to a guy that the Cleveland fans, some have already canceled their season tickets, so they can't believe the Browns would do this. And Baker was loved by Cleveland. I mean, he Baker was drafted. The Browns hadn't won a game. They were winless. And he got them to like 6 or 7 wins. Then they get to the playoffs and almost beat the Chiefs. And now he's just he's a wasted pick. He's a bust. He's a wasted pick. I'm like, dude, the guy's – I mean, look up Baker Mayfield, how old Baker Mayfield is. He's not that old, okay? He is 27.
I was going to say, he can't be much, 26, 27.
He's 27 years old, and I'll pull up his stats here. He's played in the league for 4 years, and his record as a starter is 29-30 overall. But remember, his first year at 23, he inherited a team that hadn't won a game the prior year. He went 6-7. Second year, 6-10. Third year, 11-5. He was healthy, and he threw 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He was top 10 in QBR, completed 63% of his passes, threw for 3,500 yards. And yes, he didn't have to chuck it all the time. He had a running game. Mm-hmm. But that's a really good year for most quarterbacks, for crying out loud. And then he has, last year, he had 13 interceptions, 17 touchdowns, which is not horrific ratio, honestly. I mean, it's not great. But there are other quarterbacks that have bad ratios that don't catch the ire that Baker Mayfield does. And yes, his QBR wasn't great, no doubt about it. He had a bad year. He was playing with a torn labrum. He had some other injuries as well, and he played through it, and to his detriment. He should have shut it down. So for all those people that tell people they shouldn't shut it down, they need to fight through injuries, this is a great example of LeBron, even, who's a big Browns fan. LeBron saying, this is why you shut it down. This is why when you're out of the playoff race, you don't play in a game that gets you the 10 seed, okay? This is why you shut it down. This is why you do this, because look what my boy Baker Mayfield's gone through, and he actually toughed it out and played 15 weeks of the season with a torn labrum. I just think he's been done wrong. Yeah. If Russell Wilson did this, if Patrick Mahomes did it, Justin Herbert did it, Josh Allen did it, you can name about a whole bunch of quarterbacks in this league. If Aaron Rodgers did this, he'd be a hero. Rodgers is so tough. How did he play through that broken collarbone and that torn labrum? But Baker Mayfield, he's just a big waste of time. I think it is. Whoever gets Baker Mayfield is going to have a motivated guy. We know what Baker's done in his career when he's motivated. The key is being healthy, and that's his first significant, huge injury in his career, both college and pro. I think Orlovsky could be right. It'll be very interesting to see where Baker Mayfield goes.
Oh, for sure.
Whether during the draft or once the draft is done, then teams will know, okay, I didn't get the quarterback I wanted in the draft. Next best option is a guy, Baker Mayfield, still in his prime. He's proven he can win in this league. And, oh, yeah, he's healthy, and I want to give up a fourth-round pick for that guy?
Why yes. Washington isn't all over this, I don't know.
Yeah.
They got the makings of a good start to a good roster.
I think it'd be perfect in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well,
but
I mean, Washington's
the Browns aren't going to trade to Pittsburgh.
Traded for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, so Carson Wentz has got Washington.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's not going to be
I would argue Baker Mayfield's better than Carson Wentz.
Right.
I would, too.
Or why Washington wasn't all over. I don't.
If I'm Seattle and I don't get a young quarterback, I go get Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Like, got a running game?
Yeah.
If it's just football, there are some inconsistencies and stuff there that if a team wants Deshaun Watson, if it's just football, you know, over Baker Mayfield, I get it.
Sure, I get that.
Sure. But, man, if some of these teams that don't have quarterbacks, and it's now going to be a fourth, fifth, whatever pick, why not take a chance on that good year that Baker gave you? I don't.
You're not risking a lot either,
right?
Yeah, Seattle I think and Carolina would be at the top of my list. Of
one
guys
or two
that need a quarterback that, unless they're going to find somebody in the draft, which again, it's
which
it's,
Carolina
it's a
traded
thin
for
draft,
Sam Darnold,
right? Yeah, and I, you know, their new guy said that Darnold's their guy, but he backtracked like a minute and a half later and said, I shouldn't have said that Sam Darnold's our quarterback in the new press conference for the new OC.
I think Seattle and Pittsburgh would be a good fits for Baker.
Oh, yeah. Pittsburgh's probably, that's probably not going to happen.
No, I don't think Cleveland's going to trade him in division, no doubt. All right, in an NFL draft tonight, should be a lot of fun. It'll be at 7 o'clock. The Chiefs will pick at about midnight tonight, possibly. I don't know. It's going to take a while, no doubt about it, in the first round. All right, the NBA playoffs continuing last night.
Hawks beat the Bulls 4-1 in 5 to advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals. One step down to trying to defend this title. 116 to 100 is the final.
Missing the playoffs each of the last 2 years. On the drive that time, it's Morris and the Golden State Warriors starting to get that old championship look in their eyes as they dispatch of Jokic and the Nuggets and win it 102-98 as the series ends in five games.
So the Bucks win last night by a final of 116-100. It should be noted the Bulls were without two very important players. Zach LaVine didn't play last night. Alex Caruso was out. Caruso got hurt early in game four, and he's an important part of that team. And so the Bucks roll the Bulls after being tied 1-1 in that series, and they move on to face the Celtics in the second round. That's going to be a great series, although without Chris Middleton, I don't know how great it'll be. But so far, the Bucks look pretty good without Middleton. The Warriors, as you just heard, they beat the Nuggets 102-98. They did not have a great game offensively, but they found a way to win, which is a sign of a really good team. Steph Curry started last night. They went with the small ball, the lethal lineup. And honestly, it wasn't that lethal when it started. Curry with 30 and 5 threes. Warriors move on. They win in five. They'll take on either the Grizzlies or Timberwolves in the second round. And Jokic for the Nuggets, that guy just didn't have enough help. I mean, that guy played out of his mind the last three games of the series. 30 points, 19 rebounds, 8 assists. And you just sit here and you go, what if Jamal Murray was healthy? Well, if he was, they probably wouldn't have been the sixth seed. But it's unfortunate. No, injuries. Yeah. We've been talking about injuries in the NBA playoffs, but how about just guys that haven't even played? Well, I mean, you know, you can knock all you want and make fun of Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons didn't play at all this year. He's a very outstanding. I mean, he's an outstanding defender, great passer, handles the ball well. He's not a great scorer. We know that, but he's still an outstanding talent. Right? He doesn't play at all this year. Jamal Murray doesn't play at all this year. And I'm probably leaving somebody out.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Nuggets, Porter. Did Porter play at
Porter,
all?
I don't know. I don't put Porter at the level of those guys.
Well, no, but I mean, for the whole team as a whole and what they were doing, I mean, he was very important to the runs that they have made in the past year. And he was obviously a guy that was actually ascending and getting much better as it went on.
Right. So when you miss those players for a whole year, it's just unfortunate because the Nuggets were so, so close. And people are talking about they're the heir apparent in the West, perhaps. And now, of course, he has to sit out the whole year. We'll see if he can come back strong next year. Tonight in the playoffs, three game sixes. It's the Sixers and the Raptors. Philly has a 3-2 series lead in that one. Doc Rivers is the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Doc Rivers has been the head coach of three teams that have blown 3-1 leads, and now he could be the first to blow a 3-0 lead. It would be only apropos, wouldn't it? We got to bring in Doc Rivers. That's the key. You know, somewhere Brett Brown's got to be laughing, the former coach of the Sixers. if Rivers and the Sixers lose four straight after being up 3-0 against the Raptors.
I think they have to do it tonight. I think the Sixers have to win tonight.
In Toronto?
Yeah.
Even though home I think if game seven's at
if
home?
If they get to a game seven, I think they'll just be too tight. I don't know.
I think if they get behind in game seven, the crowd's going to make them feel tight.
Right.
Yeah, there's going to be this horrible aura in the
Philly's not known as an uplifting crowd all the time. It doesn't always help you.
They are not uplifting. Yeah. You're right about that. No, I think the Sixers are in trouble too. And you know, Doc Rivers pointed out. He said, "Listen, you know, you better share both sides of the story. We were an 8 when I was in Orlando, and you can't even name who was on that team besides Tracy McGrady. We were up 3-1 in that best of 7 against Detroit." True, but you blew the lead. You're up 3-1. You're going to get 3-1, but you couldn't finish it out. And then, of course, they blew the 3-1 lead recently with the Clippers against Nuggets. And he said that's the one. Yeah, the Rockets blew a lead, or the Clippers blew a 3-1 lead when Chris Paul was hurt, playing on one leg, and so forth and so on against the Rockets. And although they had a double-digit lead in Game 7 with Harden on the bench, and they lost. But he kind of made an excuse for that one. But he said the one that really, no doubt, we blew was the one Clippers and the Nuggets. And he did point out that Game 7 wasn't in L.A., it was in the bubble. We were in Disney World, which he's right. I mean, that's accurate. Mm-hmm. Although, the way Doc Rivers is going, I don't think that game would have mattered if where it was. They would have still lost it. So you do feel like Doc Rivers jinxed a little bit. He did win a championship with Boston with Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen, of course. But, man, can you imagine the fallout if the Sixers with James Harden and Joel Embiid, they lose four in a row and lose a series, four games of three after being up 3-0 against a Raptors team that has not had Fred VanVleet, their best player, last couple games. Scottie Barnes didn't play early in the series due to injury. He's now, by the way, the rookie of the year of the NBA, announced that yesterday. Can you imagine? Wow. Game six tipping off at 6 o'clock tonight in Toronto. Suns are up 3-2 on the Pelicans. Game six at 6:30 in New Orleans. Mavericks are up 3-2. They have a chance to eliminate the Jazz in Utah. Game six tips at 9 o'clock tonight. All right. Sixers, Raptors, game six. Who wins tonight?
I'm going to pick Philly to finish it out tonight.
Okay. I'll go with Toronto. I'll ride that hot horse. I'll go with Toronto to force a game seven and put all the pressure on the Sixers. In the West, Suns, Pelicans. Game six.
I think Phoenix is going to finish it out, too.
I said the Pelicans are going to win. I disagree with you. We'll see. I hope you're right. And then the Mavericks up 3-2 on the Jazz. I think the Mavericks close it out tonight.
Then I'll be different and pick the Jazz to win tonight. Okay. Yeah. The Luka thing, it makes me a little nervous about that since he's playing and health and back on the court. I don't think Utah can match that.
I know I have.
So
right.
I'm saying though is the Mavericks
winning. You have the Jazz.
When
winning.
I just said that I picked the Jazz, that's what makes me worry about picking the Jazz.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell's not 100% by the way now.
But I'll just be different on since you were different on the other two.
That sounds good. So that's a look at the NBA playoffs. You can learn more at NBA.com. Hey, don't forget you can register to win two seats on Arcadia Coach 94 Royals bus trip. It'll be Sunday afternoon, May 22nd. We cheer on the boys in blue as they host the Twins. Maybe Adalberto Mondesi will be healthy by then. Don't count on it. Don't count on that. You can sign up and win tickets on our bus trip. Sign up in Glen Elder at Cunningham Telephone Cable and Downs at Miller Hardware LLC, in Osborne at Gerard's Grocery Store, in Mankato at Mankato Professional Pharmacy, in Jewel at Boner at Welding, and Beloit at Dairy Queen, and Cunningham Telephone and Cable. We do have a few seats available for purchase on the bus. There's only, I think, four left. So if you'd like to make sure you're on the bus and not taking a chance to wait to see if you won at one of these sign-up locations, call us and we'll give you the details. 545-3220. We leave at 8 a.m. for the Beloit High School parking lot on May 22nd. Get back between 9 and 10. We have a great time. We give away prizes. We have trivia. We have drinks for you. Not alcoholic drinks, sorry. But we have pop and water. We have snacks. And we stop to eat on the way back. And we have a great time. So if you'd like to go, call us 545-3220 or sign up to win tickets on the bus trip at those locations. Have a great day. And enjoy the draft tonight.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.